Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode was brought to you by Evan Munro Smith's Myths. Fuck, that's hard to say.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee.
When are we going to do primates from unpopular culture?
Well, I mean, we've done some of those, but I don't like to point that out. I'm in the middle of the... No one's ever interrupted the intro before.
Oh, my God.
What a weird thing to do.
What a dog. Sorry.
You're getting too comfortable. It's your fourth week in a row and you're getting comfortable.
Yeah, you can't be... You can't be a dog on a primate podcast.
Yeah, dog. Don't dog
it.
Boys. Or the girls.
Thank
girls
you.
Girls can be dog too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This week on the show, coming back into the Monkey House from Stupid Old Studios and the host of the Gamey Game show, it's Evan Munro Smith.
Hey, it's not a game show, just to be clear. It's okay.
It's a show about games.
It's a show about games, but it's not a game show.
No, it is a game show. People go...
There's no buzzers, no contestants.
I thought it was all about... I've been on it about 10 times. I thought it was all about the guidebook called The Game, which is all about picking up ladies.
Well, technically, I think... Life is about that.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
There's an undercurrent in life which is about getting them women
A,
by naked.
B, G. Always be gaming.
Have you actually read this? I'm scared that you have too much knowledge about this book.
I mean, all of that was all on the first page. But yeah, I could go deeper in. Yeah, yeah. The first page, they do a parody of the Glengarry Glen Ross scene. Always be closing. That's how they start the book.
Oh.
And also on the show, also from Stupid Old Studios, as well as a Kentucky Fried Chatting podcast and writer for Sean McAuliffe's Mad as Hell.
Oh, that's not it's been going
Patratus.
Long enough for me to, okay. Someone put me on IMDb as doing a bunch of episodes. I'm like, oh, no.
You've done three.
Yeah.
Three.
That's enough.
Okay.
How many in a bunch? I say three plus.
Yeah,
I'd say that's the minimum.
Minimum for a bunch.
I think about six is a bunch.
Like, no, you could definitely have a bunch, but I've definitely gone to the supermarket and got a bunch of bananas, which is three.
Yeah, thanks for talking bananas.
That actually is very on theme. But anyway, yeah. No, don't associate me with that. I haven't done anything.
You haven't been in for a while in the Monkey House, Beck.
Yes.
Since the episode about Beast Wars.
Oh, what a beautiful time.
And we had the great characters like Rat Trap.
Of which I still keep asking my mum, like on the daily. She calls, she goes, hello, Beck, my child. And I say, Mum, where's my Rat Trap toy? Where's that Rat Trap toy at?
Yes, I love you as well, but where's my Rat Trap toy?
Where my Rat Trap toy? I think it's in the back shed. She won't go in there, full of spiders.
Oh, well, you love her, but does she love you?
No,
not enough to go into the shed.
Get bitten by a bunch of whitetails. Oh. What a shame.
Was there a spider beast war?
Yeah, I think there was. I feel like the lady was a spider.
Yeah, and she spoke like this.
Maybe.
I reckon in the back shed there'd be actual rat traps.
Oh. Yeah, she comes back and goes, is this the rat trap you want? It's got a dead rat in it.
That's my toy from
There's
my
rat
childhood.
Traps from all around our apartment building.
Are there? I haven't seen those.
No, they definitely
are. Oh, no.
You could have any of those.
Listeners might not know that you two live in the same apartment building.
Yes. Yeah. As Brode and Kelly from Auntie Donna.
Wow, that is an all-star apartment
Stop
building.
Stop telling people where we live.
I'm not telling people where we live.
Well, now they only need to follow one of you home and they've followed all of you home.
Far out.
Beck, did you know this about Evan? I mean, you live in the same apartment building, so maybe you do, but his favourite primate is the human, in particular, Andy from Toy Story. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that. Also,
it's not strictly true.
I tried to buy, I'm so sad, there was some Woody socks the other day. I saw them and I was like, oh, these would be perfect for Evan, except I turned them over. I'm like, it should have Andy written on the bottom, and it didn't.
Oh, that would be
Because that would have
be
been, Evan would have loved it.
That would have been the best thing ever.
Evan, would you ever consider getting an Andy tattoo on the sole of your foot? Because that would be pretty sick.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm now considering it. That's a great idea.
It's a good idea. It's a great idea.
It wouldn't last because you
reckon it'd get rubbed off?
Oh, yeah. That's the same with bingos. Like if you get tattooed fingers.
You just keep getting it redone.
Oh, yeah.
Like
God.
Woody from Toy Story.
Oh, God. What a nightmare.
And eventually it comes off and you write down Bobsy or whatever the new girl was.
I have not seen the new one yet.
How quickly we forget. You don't know about Bobsy?
I don't know about Bobsy.
But what was her name?
Was it Bobsy?
It was not Bobsy.
Evan said to me after he saw Toy Story, he's like, "What did you were like, one of the characters in it reminded me of you, Forky, you know, because you say you're trash. He kept trying to get in the bin, like you. I'm like, this is accurate.
Yeah.
I should see this movie.
It's on brand for you.
It's very on brand.
All right, I've just Googled Toy Story 4 kid, and the first thing that came up is Disney recalls Toy Story 4 Forky plush citing choking hazard. Is that it? Is that her name? It's longer than I remember.
Doesn't sound right.
Choking hazard is a beautiful name.
This doesn't matter. People are annoyed at home, and so, either for
they're screaming at the podcast. They're screaming at their
either
phones
going, "This is what the answer is," or they're going, "No one gives a shit. Move on, Bonnie."
Bonnie,
that is so close to Bobsy.
Oh, I know. Bonnie.
Yeah, I knew it was. You were not far off, but it wasn't Bobsy.
I mean, you were far off enough that I didn't understand that you meant Bonnie, and
well,
I definitely know who
her
Bonnie
close
is.
Friends call her Bobsy.
Hey, and is that a Forky plush, like a squishy fork?
Yeah, that's dumb. That's the dumbest thing ever.
Oh, that, I felt like that made sense.
You know why kids are choking on it? Because they don't want to live anymore when they see that Forky plush.
You've given me this Forky plush. I'm going to swallow it
How
until
is it
I'm
a
dead.
Choking? If they made a hard fork, then I'd think that that's a choking hazard. A plush fork? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I reckon you could suffocate yourself pretty easily with a plush fork.
Kids can
suffocation
suffocate
is not choking.
Oh.
Thank you, Evan. Why do you... You're so sure about that.
Yeah.
Stop murdering people.
Maybe they're similar.
Yeah, I think they're in the same ballpark. Anyhow,
okay. Sorry.
So Evan's favourite primate is human.
Yes.
And Beck, I'm trying to get some guests to come in and explain to them that there's better options out there.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
Look, I have one that has been giving me great joy. I had a stressful day yesterday and this is quite an old meme. But I really like it. And it technically is not a primate, but also it's technically not anything.
Okay.
So, you know, it's known as the monkey cat meme
okay,
in some parts of
close.
The internet.
Yeah.
Other parts of the internet, it's, I think, what's it called? The Persian guardian, Persian cat, what is it? Persian cat room guardian.
What's
and it sort of looks like this.
Oh, my God.
And it's like a cat...
That's
monkey
creepy.
Hybrid. Oh. Its arms are bendable, so they're on wires. And I feel like the expression it's giving off is the expression that's in my soul, which is like, I don't know. I don't know how I got here.
It looks more like a monkey than a cat.
That's what I thought. And is it in different situations? Here it is at a birthday party.
Or is it
no,
a toy?
It's a toy. It's made. And then, nope, that's a gif of Mark. This is it is a wizard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where's
now
it
I get it.
Come from?
So it comes from DeviantArt. Someone makes these room guardians they describe as small creatures that protect one's homes from negative spirits and energy.
Okay.
It's quite an old meme. It's from 2013 or 2016. Like it's between those years.
And does it have a name?
I think it's just called Persian Cat Guardian.
Oh, okay.
It's made by Anya Boys. Nope. Anya Boz. Anya. Nah. On it's made bonnie. By someone. On your body.
On your Bobsy.
Bobsy! And I just think, I think it's a good middle ground between monkey and
your,
cat.
Yeah, I really think, Evan, this could be your gateway primate.
Like, this could you be like the cats?
I'm not that fond of cats, really.
You do like cats.
I mean, maybe.
Look at it. Look at its creepy human hands.
That is, no, that is, yeah, that
yeah,
is
I'll
creepy.
Zoom really that's, close to its face.
Why has it got human hands?
I can't get close to its face.
Hopefully those listening at home are also zooming so yes. that this isn't too tedious.
You should Google this if you're listening to this on your phone or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just Google monkey cat meme and you'll get a whole article about it. But there's many pictures of it. And I also just want, I think I want to buy this. I'm going to do a job where I can have it in my house.
Are they expensive?
Probably.
Does writing for Sean McAuliffe's Matters help preclude you from owning a real-life meme?
If it does, then I won't get it. I'm so scared.
Are you saying it's sort of some sort of tyrannical workplace?
No, I'm saying I have an anxiety disorder.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up. So this week we're going to be talking about, and this is an often requested topic, it's an episode of Futurama, which is it's not a spin-off, but it's like a spin-off of The Simpsons.
It's like a spin-off
of The
I thought
you were trying to remember the word cartoon. It's like a...
what are you, because like a doodly... not photos.
Yeah, it's an animated series.
Animated series, thank you.
From the creator of The Simpsons, Matt Groening.
Yes, and it's been suggested by Jared Schaffer. I'll just read some of these names out. Vinny Bonadonna. Holy moly.
What a name.
That's a great name. Michael Killen as well as Kayla Hodkowitz. That's not quite right, but Kayla Hodkowitz. I am sorry.
Oh, no.
And also Max Edmonds. And once again... Vincenzo Bonadonna. Liked it so nice, he requested it twice.
Right.
So thanks, everyone, for requesting it. Futurama, did you guys grow up with Futurama?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's one of my favorite all-time shows. I haven't watched it for ages. I like it more than The Simpsons.
Mm.
It's probably, I don't know, does that have me in the minority? Which would make me cooler than the mainstream. Right?
I started with The Simpsons, so I think I'm more nostalgic about that. It's definitely better than The Simpsons, than what The Simpsons has become.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a more, it just didn't keep going and going.
But it kind of did though. It did. It came back for those movies and then it went away again and then it sort of came back. I don't know. I think I had a complex about it because it was smarter. Like, it's a smarter thing. But also a lot of the references in it are to things that I didn't grow up with, so I didn't understand sometimes.
Right.
But also I didn't understand with The Simpsons, but I think they were a bit more, when they referenced something, they still made, there was still a joke about it. Whereas I feel like even in the episode we were just watching, there was a reference to a film I haven't seen. But I guess it was still funny. I don't know. It's smarter. It's a smarter show, and I'm a dumber dumb.
That's true. Beck is real dumb.
I'm a dumb.
Yeah.
That's not true. I found an article on The Guardian that talks a bit about Futurama, which is it's a pretty brief article, which maybe helps people who haven't seen it before. It was written by Ben Gazur.
What, all of it?
Just last month. Well, no, this
Oh, the article. Sorry.
What the hell?
It's called Space Oddities. Why the Futurama reboot went from sci-fi to sci-why?
I reckon he didn't write that headline.
No, he wouldn't have written that headline.
Because that's nigh unforgivable.
He says, Matt Groening could do no wrong in 1999. The Simpsons was still both witty and money spinning, and he could get any project he wanted greenlit.
What was 1999 Simpsons? Do you know, Evan?
Well, it started in 1989, right? Yeah, so we'd be talking about like season 10, maybe.
Okay, I'm going to look. You continue. I'm going to look up what episodes were in season 10, and we'll see if they were still.
Because I think that season 12 was like. Is it season 12 when it started falling off?
Yeah, or maybe.
There was a couple of different cliffs it fell off.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely it had started to drop.
Oh, no, the first episode of season 10 is the one with all the grease. That's pretty good.
Where Homer goes to steal the grease.
You got any grease? Grease me up, woman.
Yeah.
It's a great line.
No, okay,
say it
good.
All the time.
Never mind.
That's a good.
Yeah, it's right. Still good.
The show began with, even a sci-fi comedy cartoon called Futurama. The show began with New Year's Eve 1999 when disillusioned pizza delivery boy Philip J. Fry fell into a cryogenic vat, only to awaken 1,000 years later in the world of tomorrow.
And that's what they based Futurama on.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
It's a dump.
His excitement at his new life was tempered by finding out everyone in the future has a career assigned by the government, and his job was to be a delivery boy for Planet Express. Their motto was, "Our crew is replaceable, your package isn't." It's a good motto. So, yeah, he was, I remember in the first episode, very excited to start a new life,
mm-hmm.
leaving his pizza delivery boy life behind him, yeah. only to find out he was going to be a delivery boy. On board the Planet Express spaceship, with the immature and slovenly Fry, with a Cyclops orphan named Leela, a drunken robot named Bender, clumsy intern named Amy, and an incompetent alien medical lobster, Dr. Zoidberg, who didn't feature in this episode.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Not at all.
Where was Zoidberg? I mean, he's already a doctor. He doesn't need to go to Mars University.
Yeah, but that was, weird that he wasn't there.
Maybe it was because that was Amy's first episode. Was that Amy's first episode? So maybe they.
No, I don't think it was.
Okay, great. Every mission was an adventure, whether it be discovering a parallel universe in a cardboard box or battling parasites in Fry's bowels. Present-day celebrities made cameos as preserved heads in jars, which was a lot more satisfying than how The Simpsons handled them. Everyone from Stephen Hawking to Al Gore was willing to be decapitated to appear in the funniest show on TV. Unlike some shows aimed at nerds that just shouted science words and played a laugh track, I think that's having a go at that science comedy show. Seinfeld.
The Big Bang Theory.
Right. Yeah. Futurama really was as clever as it seemed.
I was going to say Beakman's World, but I don't think that had a... Do you remember Beakman's World?
No. Is it about a duck?
Nope.
About a man with a beak?
No, he had a good haircut.
I don't get it then.
No, I don't know what... That is.
I'll see if it has a monkey and then I'll bring it back.
We'll learn about it.
But it sort of goes on to say, like you were saying, Beck, jokes about super duper symmetric string theory or written in binary code were included for viewers with the nerd credentials to recognize them. So there's a lot of written gags, which was hard for us because we watched it in reverse. It was flipped.
I thought you were going to say because we can't read.
And? Well, I mean, both of those things are true. Unfortunately, the Fox Network, which initially aired Futurama from 99 to 2003, didn't know what to do with it. Despite fan outcry, it axed Futurama after four brilliant seasons. But like the show Zombie Jesus, Futurama was brought back from the dead, moving to Comedy Central in 2008. Many of the old writers had moved on to bigger and better things, however, and instead of leaving... It didn't say better, I editorialized there. However, and instead of leaving a perfect legacy of genius comedy, the show decided to try new things, like being stupid and unfunny.
Oh my God.
It's brutal, yeah.
That's harsh.
If you can't come up with one good idea for an episode, the thinking on the undead Futurama seemed to be, why not just smash multiple tired ones together? The real low point came in the Futurama Holiday Spectacular, which combined songs with heavy-handed ecological morals across three unrelated stories. Murderous Christmas trees conquering Earth was somehow not the worst thing about it. It goes on to talk about how it went to shit a bit. But, I mean, I think it's true to some degree, but I still think those shows after the comeback were pretty good.
Yeah.
I just think the expectations were higher.
Yeah, that's...
Like, if you have a show where people's expectations were, like, I think they were not... super high when it came out because of, you know, you're up against The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So anything after The Simpsons, you're going to not really hit that. But they kind of did. Like, I think they were a different enough thing. Have you guys watched, what's the new one? Disenchantment.
Disenchantment, yeah.
I've watched
the first few and it didn't grab me.
Yeah, I watched the first episode and it didn't grab me.
But I think that's also if you make something so big and successful, it's hard to live up to those expectations. And then when it does live up to those expectations, then you come back. Yeah, I just think it was doomed to not be as good as people wanted it to be anyway.
Futurama or Disenchantment?
Everything in the world.
Yeah, it is. It is hard because The Simpsons was so big, and I think that's why Futurama ended up being cancelled, because it was very good, but not enough people watched it, obviously.
Yeah.
He finishes with a line. He says, "Who would have guessed that the creator of The Simpsons wouldn't know when to let go?"
Yeah.
Brutal. Anyway, the episode we're talking about today is called Mars University. It is episode 11 of season 1, or depending on how you watch it, episode 2 of season 2.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently there were 13 episodes in season 1, and the last 4 came after some big sporting events or something like that. And so when they were initially broadcast, they were split. It would, they sort of rolled into the second season.
Would it have been Thanksgiving or something?
Yeah, maybe.
The sport then.
So, right. So I think technically they were part of the first production season, like they were all made as part of season one. But then when they actually broadcast, they were split, and so that's why you go, oh, it's season two. And then it's actually, some people call it season one. Or anyway,
yeah, no, that makes sense.
I wonder what are they on the DVDs? Because I always used to get the DVDs out from Frankston Library and watch them. Yeah. I used to go to the library and get DVDs.
That is a sick memory.
Thank you, everyone.
I watched it. I borrowed my friend's box set that came in a Bender head.
All the cool people in my life had that Bender head.
That's great.
Not me.
Great thing.
Wasn't allowed.
Not me. Borrowed it though.
That was near
coolness.
I reckon adjacent to cool.
Yeah. This episode, so it's relevant to this show because the one of the main storylines is about a super intelligent monkey.
Mm.
How it goes down is there's a job they have, and they have to. So every episode's a delivery, pretty much, and they've got to deliver a mystery package to their boss on Mars, and we find out that package is a super intelligent monkey. And it's delivered to Mars University, where Professor Farnsworth wants it to go study to prove that his... Well, it's super intelligent because he's put a hat on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's some sort of hat device
that
makes that monkey super intelligent. But they don't really go into the hat very much as to how it works or whether it would work on other things. It does have to go on the head, we find out.
Yeah.
But
it can't
also
go on a different part of the body.
So the hat... But then when the hat's off, the monkey isn't smart anymore. So is the hat the smart thing?
Yeah, I guess it's like it's a boosting the brain.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Brain booster. So maybe if I put it on, I'd be even more smart somehow.
Mm.
Maybe.
If possible.
Maybe I'd be average level smart. Give me
You're
that
You're really
hat.
Hating on yourself today, Ben.
It's my vibe.
But you write for Sean McCall's Mad as Hell.
Please stop saying
One of the smartest
things.
Shows
oh,
on
God.
TV. So. There's another... So that's one of the main story arcs. One of the other ones is that Bender, the robot...
Sorry, Evan's just opened a notebook. What have you written?
Oh, I just had some scribbles.
Oh, that's lovely. Just
because I've forgotten things.
It's just nice to see you with some paper. I just thought you distort all the... data in your memory banks.
Yeah.
No.
Like a robot.
In a chip, one of your little chips.
One of those many chips you got.
No.
So this other storyline would be one of your favourites, Evan, as a robotic type person. There's a robot, what do you call those American houses?
Fraternities.
Yeah. There's a robot frat house called Robot House. And this storyline is kind of parodying Animal House, the classic comedy film from back in the day.
Which I have not seen.
Bender gets back to visit his old fraternity because he studied bending.
Yes.
He majored in bending.
Yes.
And found out that his, the robots who are now in the fraternity are all nerds.
Yeah.
And he teaches them how to be cool.
I reckon they look to me like just the same nerds, robot versions of the nerds from the Simpsons episode where Homer goes back to college.
Yeah, it is a little bit similar to that. I wonder which one came first. I guess the Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, I just assume the Simpsons, but I forget how old Futurama is. So it started in 1999, is that what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah, right. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah, that goes back like two decades, two full decades.
It's amazing.
Homer Goes to College is from 93. So that was...
Wow.
So interesting to make... Doubling up on a different show, but I guess it's...
It's not exactly the same, though, is it?
No, the storyline is not the same, but I just thought the nerds were kind of similar, but it's just...
The character design, you mean?
Yeah,
they just seemed like the same.
I guess they were both parodying a similar kind of source material.
Yeah.
Those teen movies of
And that was probably just what the stereotype was of nerds in the 90s.
Did you guys ever want to be in a frat house, even though they don't exist here?
No, it's so American, isn't it?
Yeah, but I never wanted to be in one, but when I... was in high school, I would have been up for doing an exchange for six months and go to some keggers.
See, I just wanted to live in the Legally Blonde frat house.
Yeah, right.
Was that a fraternity? Yeah, that was a fraternity. Well, no, what was that? Delta Kappa something. Looked nice. Looked pink.
Because I think
I want a big staircase.
A frats for boys and something else for girls.
Yeah, that feels right. I just wanted a big staircase to come down and then people go, oh, here she is.
I don't really understand how fraternities
sororities.
Sororities.
I don't understand what these are, really.
Yeah, it just seems like a clubhouse.
Yeah, is that what it
is? They all feel like a nerd thing to me. You know, they go, this frat is a nerd house.
Yeah.
I think they all are, aren't they?
No, not the Legally
Blonde
ones.
They're just
like
jock nerds.
Nah.
lawyer babe nerds.
Nah, they weren't lawyers. There was one lawyer. You got to rewatch Legally Blonde. It's a good movie.
Rewatch for the first time.
Is there a monkey in it? I'm going to see.
Is it like you go to college and you stay somewhere crappy, like you, because you go there, right? You live there.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then if you can be apply or whatever to be part of a fraternity.
This must be so frustrating to any Americans listening.
Sorry.
Just three Australians
We don't have this.
We have university. It costs hex debt, which I don't understand still. And then...
Do you have one still?
Yes.
Yes.
I recently finally got out of it. Or not out of it. I finally paid it off.
You got out of it. You just ran. I don't know nothing. Zoom.
My original plan, not intentionally, was to not earn enough to pay any back. But
it seemed like a good
apparently
idea.
Apparently, I snuck over a couple of years and they took you... And I'm like, why is my tax so high this year? And that was...
One of my friends said if you go study in New Zealand and then you come back, you don't have to pay it back. I thought that was interesting.
Ah.
So that's another way to run away from paying for things.
But then do you have to pay it back if you go live in New Zealand? Because that was the loophole in Australia, is if you study in Australia, because the way you pay it back is through basically garnishing your wages when you're actually employed. So if you study in Australia, then go overseas, then they can't. You don't have to pay it back. But I think they started chasing people internationally for that.
Hello, welcome back to Uni
Sorry,
Debt Hacks.
No,
this is the new podcast inside the podcast. I don't know how it works. Anyway.
So fraternities is like if you get to be in one, then you get to live in a cool place. That's my theory.
Feel like it's like too. And also you got to watch out for pranks.
Yeah.
Hazing.
Initiations and stuff. Yep.
You seem so excited about that. Why'd you wiggle your hand like that?
There's on the Wikipedia page, they've got a decent plot rundown. I could just work through that if you like.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, where are we up to? So they go to Mars University.
Yep. We've
Who's there? Fry, Leela, Bender.
Yep.
Professor Farnsworth.
And Amy is there. But was she there already or something?
Yeah, because I think that's the first time we met her, but maybe not.
I looked her up and her first appearance was episode 2 of season 1. So,
oh, okay, right.
But maybe she's not part of the regular troupe or something.
Because her parents own half of Mars.
Yeah, they have.
And this university is called Wong University, I think.
Right.
They're agricultural people.
Yeah, they ride on huge crickets.
Bugalows.
Bugalows.
Yeah.
So Bender's old fraternity is called Epsilon Rho Rho. That's a joke that I don't understand, but I'm sure it's really smart. And, yeah, so he starts teaching them how to be cool-er. And at the same time, Fry's being frustrated by Gunter, the super intelligent monkey.
Mm.
Yes.
And there's also the dean.
Dastardly
dean.
Yeah. So Gunter's introduced when Fry basically signs up to go to Mars University. He decides he wants to go to college to drop out again or something.
That's right, yeah.
Because the first college he went to was on Comey Island. Coney Island College, is that what it was?
Coney Island Community College.
Yeah, which was a ride or something. Or maybe it was a...
So many good jokes. Have to be this tall to study here.
Yeah, to enroll. But he dropped anyway. So he decided he wanted to go to Mars University to show them...
Show them that he could drop out of college in this century as well.
That's right. And so he gets his dorm room, which he discovers he has to share with Gunther the monkey, who is Professor Farnsworth's
experiment. That's a good bit where he goes, this is my single dorm. You can see it with my two beds and my two desks. And there's a knock on the door. And a woodpecker. Very good.
Very good.
Very good.
It's a really funny episode.
It is.
It's great.
It's a funny show. It's good. It holds up.
I haven't seen it I reckon I haven't watched a Futurama episode for 5 or so years.
Yeah.
And do you know why? It's because none of them are on our bloody streaming services.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
put them on our streaming services again, please. I want to watch them.
Weird.
No, it's just Channel 7 nicks them.
That's what I mean.
That's holding them.
Yeah, they do it with, I want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I can't. Give it back to me.
Channel 7, why are they hoarding this? All the good
shit. All the good shit.
Futurama and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Thank you.
So it talks.
So he knocks on the door. Gunther knocks on the door.
That's right.
He's the woodpecker. Hello.
And then he introduces himself as hi, I'm the intelligent monkey. Nice to meet you. I'm Gunther. I've got a little hat. Makes me real smart.
He was earlier shot by some sort of, I don't know, taser. What is it called? Like a trank dart earlier in the episode.
Yes.
While he was in a box.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And it's quite cruel to transfer a intelligent monkey in a box.
Yeah, everything about it's a bit weird.
Yeah,
Professor Farnsworth's a bit of an oddball. Yeah. That's what I remembered watching this episode.
Dubious ethics.
He is real. He's the dubious brothers. One of the dubious.
What? I heard a Doobie
Brothers song on the radio before. Yeah, right. That's not even true. I was trying to make it. I was trying to give myself a reason for saying that.
Who are the Doobie Brothers? Do they have a song?
They were in The Simpsons once. There was at some sort of event, and the lead singer of this cover band goes, "Have you heard of the Doobie Brothers? Because we got one of them."
I remember that joke.
I think they were a pretty good band from like the '70s. That sort of rock band.
God, if anything did happen to them, there would be a headline that was like, Doobie Brothers, more like Dubious Brothers.
Yeah.
And that would get someone a Walkley.
Ready to go.
Which is an Australian Journalism Award. I'm not making good references this episode.
What happened after this scene?
Well, so according to Wikipedia, we're back to the robots, and this is the first one where Bender's trying to make them cool. It says, in a scene straight from Animal House, Bender and the robot house boys climb a ladder to peek in a girl's dorm window. In reality, they only try to see one of the girls' computers as it malfunctions, which to Bender and the Nerdbots is a turn-on. A risque mishap happens.
Oh, was that what that was? Yeah. Was that a okay, all right. I was just saying as we were watching that, I'm like, you won't, this sort of scene probably, you wouldn't parody it these days. But then it was, I think, a parody on top of a parody, and it was actually okay.
There's also not any movies that probably do those kind of scenes anymore.
I reckon there still are like B grade sort of ones that would try it.
Anything with Rob Schneider.
What I'm trying to think, I reckon the American Pie probably had that sort of thing. It's the voyeuristic looking at classmates or college mates getting changed.
It's the DVD covers that have like a boy and a girl and they're making like duck faces and then red bold text.
Mm. Yeah.
Whatever those are. Like Not Another Teen blah.
Yeah,
American
that's a big teen movie trope.
Road trip.
Shower, the shower block.
Yeah.
What's that? What was that? There was a franchise called Hogs or Pigs or something. No, what was
Wild.
That? Wild Hogs. Hogs.
Yes.
Porkies.
Oh, yeah.
That would go back. That's like
but
80s,
those still are around, and I think people still try to think
that I don't know if they are, but maybe they are.
Tell us.
I'm not in the demographic anymore.
I don't think we are. We're in our hipster bubble.
Oh, yeah. Get in the bubble.
I've got a soy mocha right in front of me at all times.
Dude, is that a hipster drink, a soy mocha?
I think it's a child's drink. Yeah.
Evan's drinking a Soylent.
No, I've got a bottle of water.
Isn't that what that is?
No, this is a bottle of water.
Bottle of water. Okay. Interesting. That is hipster as. Do you guys think of yourselves as hipsters?
I think hipsters are like a large percentage water.
Right.
Yes.
Mostly made about 80%.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I don't think of myself as a hipster, really.
Yeah, because you're not.
Oh.
Beck good. Maybe is looking at you. Looking at you probably are.
Why is that? You have the same haircut colorful. As me.
Nah, but I've got it. Yours is ironic. Mine is
not an ironic.
Mine's a sincere haircut.
How dare you? My haircut is also very sincere. It says, I don't want to deal with my hair.
I thought it says, I'm ready to play Hawkeye if you need a backup.
I'm ready to play Kate Bishop, please. Please let me be Girl Hawkeye, please.
Oh, is that who Kate Bishop's Girl Hawkeye?
Well, no, that's very simple. I'm simplifying, but yes.
That's cool. So there's a character who in the Marvel universe has arrows and a haircut like that. Is that right?
No, I think this is just still Hawkeye.
Okay, great.
Haircut. I don't think anyone else would do this to themselves.
I
didn't know this was Hawkeye's haircut, by the way. My hairdresser genuinely just gave this to me.
Yeah, no, didn't you find out via another The Weekly Planet?
I found out because Broden said to me, he's like, have you listened to The Weekly Planet this week? I'm like, no. And then he was like, you should listen. And I was like, ah. And then I was bloody tickled pink that I'd been the one to get the Hawkeye haircut, and I didn't even realize.
That's so funny because I gave myself this haircut a few days ago. I was just like sitting on the couch one night, and I'm like, I'm going to cut off some of my hair. And then I went and did it. And then I posted a photo of it. And so many people posted that Hawkeye photo or said, you look like Hawkeye. Hey, what's up, Hawkeye? And then I realized I had also fallen for the trap of giving myself the Hawkeye haircut.
It's such an easy trap to fall into.
I think especially when you're cutting your own hair because you're sort of cutting just the bits that are visible to you. And not apart from the top.
Yeah, that's why
I can't see the top.
Can't get the back.
Yeah, can't get the back, can't get the top.
Look, it's pretty good that you can just go zoom.
Yeah.
Because the back is the troubling part. Like, I remember once I was like, oh, I should reshave my head. And then I had to get Evan in to do, and that's a weird thing. Oh, getting someone else to shave the back of your head.
You should have got Broden in because he lives in your building and he has a shaven head. He would know all about it.
He would know about shave. I'll ask him.
Yeah. He'd be the go-to guy. Anyone in your, of all the people I know who live in your apartment block, he'd be the guy I'd go to.
And that's a normal thing to ask someone. Hello.
Shave me head.
Shave me head. Shave me head, governor.
How are you today, also?
Shave the
back. Give me a noggin a bit of a shave, governor.
Where did we get up to?
So the prank, I mean, we're talking about a 20-minute show. There's not too much to get through. So you've got the frat pranks with the robot boys.
Yep.
Which Evan related to. Did you go to a robot frat house?
No.
No.
Mm.
But you did go to a robot university, sort of. You played with cameras and stuff.
Yeah, I played with cameras at university. I went to film school.
So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Very
to the
similar.
Same.
Yeah, yeah.
Bender bends metal. You bent reality onto the screen.
But also, Evan keeps buying knobs. That's his new thing.
What?
Like, sorry, the like twisty ones for different devices.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know. Have you not noticed this?
No, I haven't
noticed
this.
Look, there's some right in front of us.
Okay, but they've been there for ages.
They've been there for ages.
Volume knobs?
Yeah. Have
you been going around buying volume knobs?
Well, you know, knobs that you can use for different things.
What about, you got doorknobs? Any of them?
No, I haven't bought any.
No, they don't connect to a computer. Okay. Evan doesn't understand.
I see. If it's not hacking into the mainframe, then I don't want to know about it, said Evan. That was a quote.
Ah.
Direct quote. There's another section in the middle of the episode where I missed it, but there's some sort of a fancy event. The dean's there.
Yep.
Everyone's there.
Dean Vernon.
And Professor Farnsworth goes, I've got a special surprise for you, Gunther. Here are your parents without hats on. So just wild monkeys in a cage. Fry is not happy with Gunther. He finds him very annoying.
Yep. So Fry's very happy about the parents.
And to get him back, he sees that Gunther is embarrassed by his parents.
Yes.
So he lets them out of their cage and they run amok.
And he's humiliated.
They fling poop even.
Mm.
They do it off screen. which I think shows the class of Futurama.
Yes. They'd never show something like that.
No, they wouldn't show any feces flying.
I don't know. There was a bit of something in the cage when it cut to it. I was surprised by that. Did you see that? Yeah.
In the cage? No.
There was something. There was a squiggle.
It's a little Easter egg for the nerds.
You know what I did notice that struck me as a bit weird? There's a scene where Fry is eating in the cafeteria or something like that, and he's got a burger and fries.
And a banana, on the burger.
Yeah, it was so weird. Like, why has he got a banana on his tray?
It's like there was a joke that was cut that needed that reference.
I was like, oh, Gunter's going to come in a minute and grab that banana and do something.
Well, was it because, actually, it does feel like there's a deleted scene there, because then Gunter has that, gets a girl's number and says, how do you like them bananas? Yeah. So maybe he was in the cafeteria earlier and then Fry said, here's your food or whatever.
Right.
And I imagine that's the exact
line. You like bananas?
That's a very smart line. Here's your food. Here's your food. It's banana. Oh, God.
So Gunter's very upset about this. He starts to be a bit torn between the two worlds. You know, should he just be a wild monkey?
Mm.
Or does he belong in this human intelligent world?
Well, because he doesn't feel happy.
Yeah.
And does it establish that he remembers being just a monkey? I can't remember. I mean, he did, because after...
Yeah, later on he did. He remembers.
So that must mean he remembers being a monkey and then also remembers being smart. Oh, that'd suck. Because, I remember being a kid and that was great.
Hmm.
I could just run in the McDonald's playground, throw chicken nuggets and shit. The dream.
Yeah.
Now
you're super intelligent.
Now I'm super intelligent, running through the McDonald's playground, throwing chicken nuggets, going, no, my life, it's falling apart.
You're saying it would suck if you had that thing that you were relating to.
Yeah, and it'd suck if I was me.
So he's conflicted.
He is conflicted.
Because he loves bananas. And he's tried to say that he doesn't love bananas, but bananas are pretty good. Like,
he's
tried
to change, yeah, but
bananas are great.
Bananas are so good, full of potassium.
And it just sucks that I think Fry sort of made bananas bad for him, which is just mean.
Yeah, like, Fry is mean in this episode.
Fry's real mean.
Yeah, he is. He's an idiot and he's not a nice guy.
And Fry is eating fries.
Yeah.
What's with that?
What is with that?
Cannibalism.
Bender bends things. Bananas are bent.
Leela Leelus? Nope.
What does it all mean?
Yeah, Leela doesn't have a lot to do in this episode.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The voice of Gunter is Tress McNeely. McNeil.
Yes, Tress McNeil.
And so she's a big voice actor in the Simpsons world, but she's done heaps and heaps
of stuff.
She's done
so much.
Yeah.
And what some of the characters she does? I'm sure, does she do the nerd in The Simpsons? What's his name? I keep saying nerd. What, this world of nerds and jocks?
What nerd are you talking about?
The main
nerd. The
bully. No, she sounds like...
Nelson?
Not Nelson.
Hang on, no, Martin.
Martin yep. Prince. But I don't know if that's true. She plays Agnes Skinner and Dolph and Various, according to
Various.
IMDb.
And Mum. She plays Mum in Futurama. Sorry.
Oh, right.
And she's also in Chip and Dale. Oh, I love Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, she's super cool.
She's great. So it is a familiar voice.
Yes. And then there's a classic frat race, a boat race.
Raft race.
Oh, raft race. Sorry.
I imagine there's a raft joke regatta. In there that I don't understand.
Raft regatta?
I think that because frat is raft with the letters jumbled, right? I think it's a...
Or was that just because we were watching it?
It's because we were watching it flipped. Yeah.
We thought it said raft regatta. We're
watching some sort of dodgy
But it said
stream.
Frat regatta.
Frat regatta.
The accent changed on it?
The accent
that's
changed.
Really weird.
Backwards to forwards. Mm-hmm. The and so it's the robots versus the sort of, what do you call them, like sort of the foppish frat boys.
They were the Snooty House. So this is a subplot between Dean Vernon not liking the, or you know, being pranked by the robot house, and this was like some big event where they could, if they won the race, then they would, because they've got like a what do you call it, like a thing.
Yeah.
They're on probation.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Sorry. That's
super
what I was
secret
looking for.
Probation. Yeah. Because he kept saying they kept doing something that mucked something up, and he would say, Robot House.
Yeah. It's a bit like Superintendent Chalmers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skinner. So there was this race, and he said if they won, you know, then that lifts their probation. I don't know. It was a bit of a weird little thing.
I don't know about this B plot. How do you guys feel about this B plot? A plot, very strong.
I think I think it was really just a pretty tight parody of those kind of movies. They would always have an event towards the end that would solve all the problems if the underdogs could somehow win. And that was kind of doing that, only to it, like taking that up a notch.
I just wish that it span again and twisted again into something else.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it was a pretty basic subplot, but
but it also,
you've got to have a subplot. You can't just focus on the A plot. That would be interesting.
They also did tie the two stories together. It's what brought Gunther into the two stories combined with this boat race.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yes, because Gunther eventually has a panic attack when he's in class at Mars University. Because he wants to go back to the jungle. And he's sitting there, he's looking out the window, he can see the jungle, and he can see the professor at the front of the class, and he can see the jungle, and he can see the professor at the front of the class, and then he eventually just snaps, takes off the hat, reverts back to normal chimp intelligent
monkey.
McDonald's playground chicken nuggets.
Yep. And he smashes through the window and runs out to the jungle. Mm. And so that's why he's out in the jungle. And then the professor and Fry and Leela go out to... Oh, and Bender was Bender? No, Bender was up doing the race.
Yeah.
So that's why they're all out in the jungle. They're trying to find Gunther to try and convince him to put his hat back on.
They were going
to
let him choose between...
Yes, that's right.
...the hat or the banana. So, like, do you want the smarts? Do you want the delicious
the
banana? Yes.
And he ends up, while they're waiting for him to decide, the robot boat raft comes by and sweeps them into the water. That is Leela, Professor, and Fry.
Yes.
And they're stuck on the edge of a waterfall. They're about to go down, and they're pleading with Gunther to put the hat on so he knows how to save them. And then there's a scene of him putting it on his knee, and then he puts the hat on his butt, and Fry's laughing along. Very funny stuff. And eventually puts it on his head and says, "Oh, the head, of course, Eureka. It all makes sense now." And then he figures out how to save him. He saves their lives, but sort of ends up letting himself fall to his seeming demise.
Yes. Because he's depressed.
He's depressed. He's torn between two worlds. He doesn't feel like he's got a place anywhere. But the fall is he's saved by the hat. The hat sort of squashes and saves him from his fall. But the squashing of the hat means that it no longer makes him super intelligent, but moderately intelligent.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
And then he decides to go to business school where moderately intelligent people go. Good joke.
And then there's a sort of a parody of a lot of those old 80s movies where they had freeze frame on each of the characters and said what they all do. And it said for Gunther that he went to business school to get his MBA and became the Fox Network's CEO.
I really liked all those Fox Network digs, especially on The Simpsons. They still do it.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that. I guess they are made by an external production company, and us knowing how these things work, you can kind of get away with that. But
if you're powerful enough, I guess.
Yeah. It's good to see. But then at the same time, they're still getting money from them. So I don't know.
It is a, yeah, it's a tricky one.
Hmm.
But I think it is, yeah, because Fox is a, because Fox is, would you say, an evil empire? Because The Simpsons often do.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, isn't it? That's News Corp, that's all that. It's not great.
Stop. I mean, just because it was set up by an Australian doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Yeah. I think they've got some interesting opinions.
No, Australians suck.
Definitely interesting opinions.
I saw there's an Australian show called The Outsiders, and it's a it's sort of like our version of a Fox News show, but it's on Sky.
Yeah.
Nighttime at Sky.
Yeah, they were recently, did you see the Greek thing?
That was the one I just saw before. So they, the conservative government was just elected in Greece. So they started the episode by smashing plates. This is a news panel show. Smashing plates, and then
they weren't even smashing. They were throwing them, and they were
and still read the monologue as if they had been smashing, because he said something like, the conservative government swept to power in Greece just as easily as we've been smashing these plates. But they hadn't been
no.
easily smashed. Anyway.
just a fun aside.
Yeah.
The Wikipedia page also has a little broadcast and reception section. It says, in a review of the episode, Space.com criticized Futurama for the disconnectedness of the episodes and the lack of large recurring casts, and questioned the time spent in developing Gunter's character when it is unlikely that he will return as a major character. Although he does return three more times, I think.
Does he really? Okay, good. I thought he did.
The episode itself was praised for its references to classic frat films such as Animal House and Revenge of the Nerds, though the reference to Light Bright was found to be lacking. I don't know what that means.
So when they ask, it's in that class where the only way you could pass this class is if you were born in the in that century, and he goes, what oh, what's the question? What do you? This is a.
Oh, what box?
Yeah, how did people get things? And the answer was television, and he said Light Bright, which I think, I don't know, that's kind of cute, because that maybe meant that, you know, Fry was getting all his information via just a Light Bright, just putting like.
What is Light Bright?
Oh, it's like this thing where you can, you plug little colored dots in and it lights up.
Oh, right.
That's funny. I mean, it's funny that they would have picked out that 2 second weird, joke in a review.
This
that
left was them- lacking.
Really? What's wrong with that?
I think, I mean, you could have come up with a smarter joke, but it's fine. Yeah, things are fine. You can just laugh at stuff. It's okay, guys.
Laugh or move on.
Yeah.
Or do a podcast about it. In 2006, IGN ranked the episode as number 21 in their top 25 Futurama episodes.
Oh, wow.
And the episode was initially ranked high on the list, particularly for its many references to Animal House and its appeal to fans of the film. It was eventually moved to 21st place and replaced by episodes with better storytelling. Isn't that funny? People are like, oh, this is referencing a thing I like. So it, yeah. I like it as well.
Yeah, that's weird.
That don't, can't it, be enough.
It feels like those, it's, yeah, I don't know. It feels like the laziest form of joke is just reference popular culture.
Well, I think, do you know what? I think it cannot be lazy. I did a, I've just remembered, in university I did a oral presentation about Buffy, which was my finest day, where I walked in, I'm like, the only thing I know about, I'm going to get a HD. Here we go, bitch. Anyway, but it, I think you can do references in a way that makes, it's like a nod to the audience as like, oh, we're treating the audience like a smart sort of people who might get this. It's okay if they don't, we'll make the joke funny regardless.
Yeah.
But when it's just something like this where I think we would have enjoyed it more if we'd seen the film.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had seen Animal House. I'd,
oh, you have?
Ah.
And it is, like, it is a classic comedy. But I thought that scene was funny either way. I thought it funny that robots, the robots are perving on a malfunctioning.
Yeah,
I mean, that's good. A that's joke fine. There.
But the rest of it, I don't know. Were there...
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it is, yeah, just because I know, I've seen a bunch of that. I've seen Revenge of the Nerds and other films like that. So maybe I know. And maybe it's funny because I'm getting the references.
I've also just realised the hypocrisy in me going, just laugh, it's a joke, and going, well, actually, yeah.
But I guess you're saying that ideally it would work both. It would work with or without the knowledge.
Do you know what? It does work. It's just maybe I should just watch Animal House. Maybe that will solve all these problems.
I mean, The Simpsons do a lot of this, just modelling storylines around, you know, popular films and stuff. And as a kid growing up, there's so many that I just didn't, I had no idea that it was a reference to something, and then later in life I'm like, oh, this is that, and that's funny.
I like that.
I enjoyed
that.
It without knowing that it was.
Most of my pop culture knowledge comes from Simpsons references.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Which is so strange to, yeah, there's a whole generation. I think it's our generation is just, we're broken. All of our, we just see it. Knowledge. It's all yellow.
Yeah. On the IMDb page, they have a trivia page for this episode.
Ooh.
And it talks about one of the things that does directly reference National Lampoon's Animal House. It says, in the film, Delta House was put on double secret probation. So that's from yep. what happened in Animal House. So in the this episode, it parodied that by saying the Dean Vernon, puts Robot House on dodeca tuple secret probation.
Yeah.
And apparently the Dean Vernon, was named after John Vernon, who played the Dean in Animal House.
I thought it was right. Vernon Dursley from Harry Potter, a thing that hadn't happened yet. Had
oh,
it?
A pre-reference. Professor, this is another one. Professor Farnsworth mentions that Mars University was founded in 2636.
Mm.
This is 1,000 years after 1636, founding of the New College, the oldest institution of higher learning in the United States.
Mm.
Yeah, which right. it became Harvard.
Ah.
So that's a...
And then they planted... I was trying to understand the joke where Leela was like, they planted ivy, which I guess is an Ivy League thing,
yeah.
and hemp.
Yeah, was that like... Because like,
they smoke?
I was figuring if it's smoking or is it like they wear
nerds.
Hemp clothes or something? Is that a big Ivy League thing? Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I don't know. Please write in the reviews. Tell us why we're dumb.
My first instinct was it must be a marijuana thing, but I didn't know that was a famous Ivy League thing.
No.
I would have thought it'd be Coke. That's a poppy. If they said poppy plants, then I would have been. Is that what Coke is?
I don't know.
Matter.
I don't think so, is it?
No, that's heroin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know what
this isn't a gardening show.
Be anyway if we're just talking about anyway. Yep.
We mentioned before that Zoidberg didn't appear. Apparently, it was one of only three episodes without him.
I wonder why. There was no reference to him at all, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, Zoidberg wouldn't do well on Mars, would he? It'd be hot. He might get a bit cooked.
Yeah, he would have been the B plot. Maybe
he's
he could have been
a character.
C plot.
He is very good. I think he's one of my faves.
Yeah.
Dr. Zoidberg. I really like the... I was just thinking of what my favourite Futurama episodes because you were talking about the top... I wonder what the top one was. Because I really like the devil, the one with the hands where... And I think that's one of the finales where Futurama can play that instrument. Sorry, where Futurama. Where what the hell? Where Fry can play that instrument. It's so good. And the one with... Is that the same one with the little candy hearts too? That one's good too. Ah, it's all good. There's so many great episodes, but they don't have monkeys in it, and I'm sorry.
I think one of my favourite ones, and I don't even know where it comes into the whole storyline, was when he's tripping out on honey. And
oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't like that. That was scary. That's creepy, isn't it? And there's like a bee, and it's got a big stinger, and it's coming. Oh,
it's
no, that is the candy heart one.
Oh, is that? That is the
it
same
must,
one.
I think so. Oh, is it? Nah. You don't edit this at all, do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, shit.
I think maybe I'm just Googling quickly here and I haven't seen it in a while. Maybe it's the sting.
Welcome to Remembering Old Futurama Episodes Barely with Matt and Beck. Evan's here too, but your memory's quite good.
I don't know. No, we've already talked about this. My memory's no good. That's why I have a notepad.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. So this is season 5, episode 9. So this is after it's supposedly gone downhill. So obviously,
how long did it go after? So the first 4 seasons, then it came back on what network did you say it came back on?
But it also this same page also says it's episode 9 of season 4. So that's confusing.
Yeah,
came back. I think it was on Comedy Central,
right?
Or Comedy Channel, which is the American one.
Comedy Central, yeah.
Comedy Central.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How long did it go for in the end?
On Comedy Central.
Yeah, how many? Well, in total, how many seasons did they have?
So there's 140 episodes, 7 seasons.
Yeah, right.
And I think some of those were the movies split up into episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nah, the honey one is not the same as the candy heart one. I've got to the bottom of this. It's called Love and Rocket.
Love and Rocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Gunter also is a very strong character, and I like the conflict that he had, and I like that he chose to go to business school.
Yeah.
I like everything about
it. I didn't know about this. Smart equals sad.
Evan is learning humans. He's writing it down as equations. Smart equals sad. One day, Evan will understand what both of those mean.
That is kind of one of the meat. That's what, like, it's kind of talking about basically ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah.
Would you rather take the hat or the banana, Evan?
Oh, man. This is...
That's a tricky one.
The banana would be tempting, wouldn't it? Just to be like, I could just have bananas.
It's a blue pill, red pill.
Not have anything to worry about, just be completely ignorant to everything and just be happy. Wouldn't that be great? Get eaten by something.
You're not Neo, obviously.
No.
No, well, that's tempting. I don't know if I would pick it. Probably not.
Probably not. What does that mean?
I probably wouldn't pick the banana. I'd probably
pick the hat.
Maybe I'd go
the hat. I think I'd pick the hat and I'd figure out, use the smarts to figure something out.
Here's what I'd do. Hat.
And banana. Bananas. Yeah, take the hat off and then go plant a banana tree.
Go plant banana trees, get more bananas.
Then take the hat off then if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got more than one banana.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That banana's not going to last long. You know what I mean? That hat is forever, but that banana is just a day.
I was thinking this, you know that game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Yes.
If you marry the person, then you can fuck and kill them. And that's why this bothers me.
Okay.
This is a new stand-up bit I'm working on.
Okay.
It's called Everything's Bad.
But also, if you fuck someone, you can also marry and kill them. And if you kill someone, well, that's really
that's the end of the line. That's the in the choose your own adventure. That's the last page.
You know, there's a slippery slope though. As soon as you start marrying things, you can marry corpses and dogs. I've heard it. I was watching Fox News. I'm sure
they're
I saw it on there.
How to marry your dog corpse?
In 5 easy steps. Yeah. All right. I should really watch some Fox News before I make such big calls. I bet it's a real smart show, 24 hours a day. Oh, this is another little fact here on the IMDb. You know, I said I didn't get the Epsilon Roro thing?
Oh, yeah.
This is probably not right.
Yeah, it was ERR.
It says it's an abbreviation of error.
Yeah.
That can't be it.
No, I think that might be it.
Okay. Well, that's pretty funny.
It was when it was first mentioned, it was like highlighted in red, ERR.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, now I get it. That's a good bit.
Yeah, it's not that great a joke, really, but sure.
It's something. And that's fine, guys.
Yeah. Well, it was always going to be something, and because I thought it was going to be too smart for me to get.
Yep.
It's disappointing to find that it was too dumb for me to get. The error was in me all along.
Yeah.
So I guess that sort of brings us to the end of talking about this fantastic episode. I do love Futurama.
Mm.
I'd love to hear what we normally do towards the end of these episodes is give the media a bit of a banana score. How many bananas? How big's the bunch? Obviously at least 3. Although you can play by your own rules.
It doesn't have to be a bunch.
I'd love to hear how many you'd give the episode by itself, but also Futurama as a whole. Beck, do you have a...
Oh, that's... Oh, I think this episode was like, if a bunch, which to me is 6, I would say is like a solid 4.5. Maybe 4 and then 1 that's not quite ripe yet.
Yeah.
It's getting there. And then Futurama as a whole, it's tough because it's so...
It's sprawling.
Yeah. I think I'd still give it like 5 banana because I'd watch any... It's like if Futurama came on, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
If Futurama appeared on a streaming service... point in time.
Smash it out.
Yeah, you just chuck it on. It's such a nice, it's a comforting show to watch, I think,
totally.
Too.
Yeah, because they're all, they kind of, the characters are all a bit bad, but also all a bit good.
Yeah, there's empathy there.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's one of the things they forgot in the later episodes is that you're supposed to feel empathy for the characters.
Although I guess you're not always. Probably some of them are just pure bad. Is there, Professor doesn't have much.
Yeah.
And he's very funny.
I think some stuff does happen, but I can't quite remember.
Yeah, he's got his moments.
I think it's an old trap of going, oh, I need to like these characters in the comedy show, but then all the best comedy characters are pretty bad people.
Oh, yeah. I think they can still be very bad people, but then occasionally something will happen and you'll go, oh, like the dog. Oh, this isn't a dog show, but when I start my rival podcast, Prime Dogs.
Yeah.
Prime Pups.
Prime Pups, yeah.
Prime Pups.
Doggin, no,
I haven't hit it yet. Doggin with Beck. Yes. Then I think that, like, those moments where you, like, you actually care about the character.
I think that there is a bit of that in the Sting, that episode with the honey.
Yes.
Does it? But I won't do any spoilers. If people want to watch it, I'd recommend it. Although I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't know if it holds up. What about you, Ev?
I'd give Futurama as a whole 9 out of 10 bananas.
That's a lot of bananas.
I didn't even realize you were Futurama lovers.
No, it's a great show. So good. And it really is. It's a show. It's a very funny show, but also it's got heart, you know? It's got that pathos that The Simpsons used to have, but lost somewhere along the line. Just gradually it just sort of completely lost all that heart and just became this stupid, silly show that isn't funny or relatable or anything like that. But I think Futurama held on to that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably right till the end. Right. I mean, yeah, towards the end it sounds like there were... It sort of lost that a bit, but...
I'm going to rewatch it and I'll...
I think we should... This has prompted me to go check it out.
And we'll have to get it from, I don't know, the sky with...
We'll get it shipped in from America.
I'm going to go back to the Frankston Library.
Yeah.
And this episode in particular?
I reckon a 7 out of 10 bananas.
Yeah.
It's not the best episode. It's all right. It doesn't really have any of that, the pathos. It's just like, it's pretty
it
silly,
sort of
really.
Is, you know, like,
kind of, about the
good
the,
to figuring out
yeah.
what is life.
Yeah. You know, there is. I definitely appreciate that. I thought all the, to me anyway, without having seen the films, the references to the college movies was just like, fell a bit flat for me. So that's why it's not higher.
Yeah.
Matthew.
I reckon it's one of my favorite TV shows. So I'd have to say it's like a, you know, 19 out of 20 bananas or something.
Wow.
That's so many bananas.
This episode is probably, it feels like a pretty good one. But I mean, I haven't seen the rest of it for so long. But I'd say I'd give it, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny. And I would give it a 7 out of 9 bananas. And they're all ready to eat. The other thing we do, Beck, if you recall, back in your rat trap days, we give a percentage of how much we see of ourselves in the monkey on screen. In this case, Gunter. Because Andy Matthews is some sort of scientist, as you well know, on the first episode, told us that chimps and humans share 98% DNA. How much of yourself, how much of your DNA do you see in Gunter?
I reckon like at least 90% I am Gunter. Because I don't like bananas that much, but I do like candy-flavored bananas, and that's very similar. And, like, if my intelligence came from a hat, I would mash the shit out of that just a bit, you know? Yeah.
And I reckon cartoon real bananas probably taste like candy bananas.
That's true. Ah. That's a good point.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
Yeah.
A sort of artificial sort of
They are artificial
powdery.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Good point. Yeah, then like 98%. We're back up.
How about you, Ev?
Yeah, I reckon 90%. I see a lot of myself in...
With or without the hat?
With the hat.
What, Evan, don't kid yourself.
I'm not super intelligent, okay? But... Yeah,
you got it out of him. Like, finally. You've been prodding him for that for a long time.
Oh, my God.
I'll admit.
I disagree. I actually think you are Gunter with the hat on. In a scary way.
Hang on, what?
I think you're very smart.
Oh,
and you
that's
like
what I'm
bananas.
Saying. I'm smart, but I'm not super intelligent.
I don't know. You talk about numbers and things a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm dumb. But
okay.
But I think, but I can relate to that feeling of like, you know, when he's got the hat on and he's feeling like, I think he just knew he was too smart. And that gave him panic attacks. I don't really have anxiety attacks, but I can relate to that feeling of I don't know, what is it? He's so smart that he's sad. It's basically like,
yeah.
Stop bragging, Evan.
But I think the more you know about stuff, the more it makes you worried, and the more anxious you get about it. it's and longing for that sort of ignorance is I don't know. I see that.
I'm going to say 23%. I don't see a lot of myself.
Really?
Although I do like wearing hats, and I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, you do love
is
wearing
that
hats.
The source of your intelligence?
Yeah. Which hat am I wearing?
The Chico Oaks Rugby Club.
Oh, this was given to me by a listener. It's a rugby team in California. Yeah.
So Chico or Chico? We're not sure.
If anyone wants to know who I follow in Californian rugby union, I think, it's the Chico Falls.
What is it about them? Is it Chico the tree? Oaks?
It's just that I have the hat.
Oh, okay.
That's a good hat. Black, red.
Good hat.
It's kind of Saints
colors. I've been wearing it all week.
You have
love
a tree on your hat and a tree on your jumper.
Yeah, I'm a real...
You're matching.
I love nature. Maybe, sure.
It's a very similar tree.
We live
tree.
In this concrete jungle.
It's the same shape of tree.
I like to have pictures of trees on me. Yeah, you got me.
Oh, my God.
Okay, sure.
Maybe you're
guilty as charged.
You're more monkey than you thought.
Yeah. I live in the trees, sort of. And I live in a jumper with a tree on it. Do you know what I mean? Much like the monkeys.
Do you know what I mean?
You know what I mean.
Do you mean
the words
the
you
literal
said?
Thing? Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you said before that you did an assignment about Buffy,
yeah.
I did a uni essay, one of the major pieces for one of my media units. I did one on the OC. Youth representation in the OC.
That's amazing.
And did pretty well.
Yeah. If that was an oral presentation, I would walk onto the theme song.
I once did a...
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for coming today.
I did in high school, I did an oral presentation about youth suicide.
Jeez.
And I played... Pantera's Suicide Note Part 1 and Part 2.
What the hell?
It's about 9 minutes of music. And they just didn't stop me. They just let me just...
Well, you just sat there
back,
while
it's like
it played
a,
out.
Yeah, what a weird thing.
No, I think...
I thought... I don't know.
Do you know what? Looking back now and knowing teachers personally...
Yeah, they're just happy
I'm like, that makes perfect
pat
sense.
It out.
I think a lot of people...
We could all sit here listening to music for a while.
And they probably liked Pantera. It was probably fine.
My most successful oral presentation was about mobile phones technology.
Were you like, this is my mum, this is my dad?
What?
I don't know, you're a son of a mobile phone. I just thought robots. Anyway, continue. Sorry, it wasn't that strong.
I don't think that's his mum and his dad. His dad was a mobile phone. His mum was a human.
Oh, what? Like a Nokia. Yeah. They can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. They were real big back then. Big enough to mate with a human.
Oh, this bit is bad. I want out. I did a presentation on a 3DS because I had one that maybe it was a Nintendo DS. It was an old one that didn't work, so I just pulled it apart and then stuck it on a poster board. I'm like, this is my assignment. Anyway, sorry, what was your mobile phone thing?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was about the history of mobile phones or something. And I think it was good because I had so many props. I had so many phones. I had my parents' old CDMA, like, brick phone, and I had, a flip phone and stuff
Who
like
were
that.
You calling as a child that you needed this many phones? Were these all burners? Are you a murderer?
I just,
you are a murderer.
I've always been a gadget nerd, and so I was always buying new phones.
Do you reckon that's his cover and he's got all these burners? He's doing drugs. He was pretending not to know what hemp was before, but now.
I was wondering why he keeps putting phones in bins all the time. I just thought he was wasteful. But he is wasteful of human life.
I don't do drugs.
Yeah, that was the big thing from that.
Nothing about killing.
No.
No denials there.
No,
I thought you meant by extension if I was a drug dealer, then that would be...
No, I meant mowing him down with machine guns. And that brings us to our final segment of the show, which is the Patreon thank you segment. On patreon.com/dogoonpod, you can support this show as well as the other shows in this mini Do Go On podcast network, including Book Cheat, Do Go On, and this one, Primates. Some of that I didn't need to say, obviously.
What's this podcast again?
This one's called Primates, Primates and Popular Culture. And one of the rewards, there's many, you get things like bonus episodes and you get to vote on topics and that sort of stuff. But one of them is you get shouted out on this show and you get to tell us your favourite primate. And at the end of each episode, I read four out. David Hayden says, I'd have to go with the mandrill. It's the world's largest monkey and noted for being exceptionally colourful by mammalian standards.
Mammalian?
I thought it just was as bad as butt.
No, they got blue on the face.
Okay. Do they got butt though?
And I think maybe big red butts.
They got butt.
A mandrill. I didn't know that was a type of...
Yeah, well, they actually only relatively recently were found to be their own species.
Evan thought that...
Used to be thought to be subset of baboons, but...
Oh, right.
Evan thought that mandrills was what happened when a man and a drill loved each other very much. Yeah.
That's his auntie and uncle origin story. No.
Isn't that a Pokemon or is that like a Beedrill or something?
That's a Beedrill.
Right.
David goes on to say, they look like they're wearing face paint and butt paint.
Great.
It's a mammalian, it's like mammals.
Oh, right.
Most mammals aren't super colourful. He goes on to say, plus, according to Brass Eye, the original fake news... They are capable of throwing a 12-stone man over 40 feet. And Queen Elizabeth I gave birth to a child resembling a mandrill by mistake.
What?
It's according to Brass Eye and all.
Oh, Brass Eye, the show. I missed you saying Brass Eye. I was like, huh? Chris Morris, this makes more sense. All right, continue.
So thank you so much for your support, David, and that great message. Also, Liz Tigress has written in to say, hers is the golden lion tamarin. They're cute and tiny like me. Also, they have lion manes. Mm. They are great. And I like how you've called yourself cute and tiny.
I think I've seen them at the zoo looking sad.
Oh, that's so good.
But because they're so smart.
Yes.
But they're wearing hats?
Maybe that's hidden under their manes. A tiny fez.
Oh. That's where they get their super intelligence. Mm. Yeah, the golden lion tamarins are great.
Mm.
They are cool looking.
They're cool monkos.
Yes.
No, we don't call them that. Sorry.
Monkos. You've started a new thing. Thank you so much, Liz Tigress, if that is your real name, which I assume is. Nathan Hansen says, my favorite is the, I don't know what, the Uta Hicks bearded Saki. Not only have they a great beard, but the hair on top of their heads looks like Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, what?
Let me check this. Uta Hicks bearded Saki.
Uta.
Uta.
Uta?
It's a Simpsons character.
Uta. Don't make me run. I'm full of chocolate.
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, that's buff.
Great.
Buff boy as well. Yes.
I
see that. It's got funny sort of...
They've got the computer screen face in a way
from
me.
You know what? It looks like...
Look at his hair.
It's either...
What?
It's either Mickey Mouse or one of the characters from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's a really funny haircut with a middle part.
I think I looked like that in high school.
That's a great funny cut.
Google that at home.
Yeah. Oh, look at this one. Look at that beard. That's sick.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen
that. That's almost as big as your beard.
That is an awesome looking.
Do you reckon if you took your beard off, your head would be able to stay up?
Yeah. It's very lightweight.
It just looks like it's holding it up like a stand, like a kickstand on a motorbike.
It could be. It's been a while since I've shaved. I'm willing to give that a try, though. Thank you so much, Nathan. Great suggestion. Three great suggestions this week. And finally, this is a classic suggestion from Zachary Ngow. N-G-O-W, Nyow?
Yeah.
Ngow or Nyow? Zachary says his favorite is the proboscis monkey.
Great.
Check out that nose. I like that short and sweetness. Because, everyone knows they've got a big old dick nose on their face.
Oh, yes.
You haven't seen them?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Now. Okay, they are amazing looking. I'd never heard of them before this show.
Really?
So many of these I'd never heard of before this show. But...
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you hear about a lot, but...
It is just it's very, wild. It very looks cute. Like it's been made up by, Jim Henson or Wallace the Wallace and Gromit people. Mm.
Yeah.
That is another great suggestion. Thanks so much, Zachary. Great suggestions all. Evan, have any of those won you over from humans?
That proboscis is pretty good, but no, not as good as a human.
Okay.
What has happened? Why is this... Ugh.
What did humans do to you to make you like them so much?
No, humans are great. I walk among them.
You robot and motherfucker. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. All right.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Where can people find you all? Beck, you've got podcasts?
You can catch me at Beckness on Twitter. On Instagram, I'm Beck Petratus. And, Kentucky Fried Chatting. It's all there. You can listen to it. You can eat along with us and get heartburn.
And I'll put a link to those things in the show notes if you need. Rather than having, if you don't have a pen on you at the moment.
That's true.
Some people don't always carry a pen.
I usually do carry a pen.
But also, we will be coming back, me and Xavier Michaelides and Peter Jones, very funny comedians. We're coming back with more fast food-based podcast choices later in the year. We're just, everyone's in different countries at the moment. So when we all come back together.
That old excuse.
No. Success. I'm the only one. I mean, I could make my own podcast, but it'd just be me eating chips and being sad.
That sounds fun.
That sounds like a funny podcast.
Okay. I'll do that.
I guess I'll have another chip.
Om nom.
And Evan, they can find you on Gamey Game, the game show.
Yes. It's not a game show. At Gamey Show, I think it is.
What's the jackpot at?
Twitter. What do you mean? No.
Is it like a million?
And what are we playing for this week?
There's no competition. It's just a comedy chat show.
I want the at-home board game of Gamey Game. Gamey Game at-home board game.
This has been another production of Gamey Game Game Show. Pete Smith speaking.
That would be great.
This week's episode has Michelle Brazier and Mark from Auntie Donna, if you're a fan of them, and Naomi Higgins as well, who's a regular on the show.
Mm.
It's a really fun show, really fun episode.
It's a really good episode. There's a joke about pickling that is mwah.
Great pickling joke. I reckon it's up there as far as pickling jokes go. It'll be one of the top.
I look forward to finding out jokes. What pickling is.
Pickling? You know what pickling is.
Make it a pickle.
Oh. You put what, like cucumber in vinegar? I don't know what you do, but pickling, you know, pickles.
Pickling. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're all, I always pickle all the time. I'm going to go pickle up right now. People can find Primates at Primates Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at gmail.com if you want to email. And the Patreon link, if you need it again, is patreon.com/dugongpod. And is there anything else? I forget. You can find me on the links below as well. That's Matt Stewart Comedy usually. And please review us if you wanna on iTunes or wherever. 5 stars, ideally, makes me feel real good. I love that little boost that it gives me. Almost as much as I hate the 1-star opposite boost.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. That's
but
not nice.
The way to do it is give me 5 stars and then let me have it. You can be negative with your words, but just not with your stars. And then everyone's a winner.
Yeah. I find it so interesting when you're looking at reviews for things and someone's like, this is terrible, 5 stars. They just don't know how to review
no,
things.
They're listening to my instructions perfectly. So at the end of the episode, we always sign off with a classic primate-related sign-off, Beck, as you would well know, and Evan,
yes.
Evan too. Thank you both so much for joining us, Evan and Beck. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast...
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.